This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Dr. Alicia Thompson, Superintendent, Wichita Public Schools. Welcome to Issues 2018.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I think this is the second time you've been on with us, and we appreciate it. You've been our superintendent for about a year now, is that right?
About a year now that I'm going into my second term.
Are you glad you took the job?
Absolutely. I'm excited that I've taken the job. It's been a challenge. It feels like I'm drinking out of a fire hose most days, but I love it.
Now, tell us about your background. Before you were selected to be superintendent, what did you do?
I actually was assistant superintendent for the elementary schools in the Wichita Public Schools. So I supported all of the 58 elementary schools that we have.
Yeah, but did you ever teach?
I was. I was a teacher, assistant principal, a principal. I did staff development. So I've been around the district for many years doing many different cool things.
You just couldn't decide, could you?
No, I just wanted variety.
It is a well-rounded resume, though. It really is. Now, what grade did you teach?
Kindergarten and first grade and second grade.
Now, that's a crucial time for kids. They're learning a lot in those 3 years.
Little people. It's all about literacy and numeracy there. So I enjoyed teaching those grade levels.
Now, why did you, going back so many years, why did you decide on a career as an educator, Dr. Thompson?
Well, there's been just a lot of people who have influenced me to become a teacher. And I'll go back always to my kindergarten teacher. She had the most influence on me. You know, she just made me feel so good as a kindergarten student, telling me how wonderful I was and, you know, I could do anything. And so she inspired me a lot, Nancy Garvey. And so I appreciated that. And as an adult, when I was in college, I wanted to figure out what I wanted to do and how I wanted to make people feel and the impact I wanted to make, and teaching just seemed to be the calling for me.
Most of us can name one or two teachers that, for some reason, they're special to us.
That is correct.
Maybe, and I think it may be just as simple as giving us a little extra attention and telling us we're okay, that we're going to be all right.
Yeah, you make you feel good about yourself and encourages you, inspires you, yes.
Well, this fall, you welcome more than 50,000 students to our classrooms in Wichita. And what are the biggest challenges in running one of the biggest school districts in Mid-America?
Well, there are many challenges, but one of the things that for enrollment purposes is just making sure that we have everything prepared, all of our technology working, making sure that the teachers are prepared and that we have everything that we need ready for kids. So the challenge for us in the summertime is just preparing to welcome our students and our families back. And that's a lot of work and a lot of pieces. But it's challenging, but it's good work. And we're excited to have our staff and our families back.
You know, and every year I talk about the student population. It's what, about 52 or 3,000, isn't it? Something like that.
We're a little over 50,000.
Oh, just a little over 50,000.
Yes.
But we never talk about how many teachers you got. Do you have an idea?
Oh, a little bit, about 4,000 teachers.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. That's That's a lot of teachers.
Yes, and that's not including our classified staff. So once we get up into that number, you're looking at close to 7,000 employees.
Well, let's talk about student diversity for a minute. I hear Wichita students are exposed to more than 100 languages in their homes. I didn't know that many existed. What's that all about?
Well,
can you name all one?
No, and I probably couldn't pronounce them all either.
Can you give me eight? No, but that's just incredible to me. And yet, they're coming to school, and you're teaching them English, right?
We do. Mm-hmm. We have our newcomers classes. So when students come, you know, and they speak little to no English, we have a newcomers classroom that we begin to immerse them in the language, and we give them tons of opportunities to practice and speak the language, and then they eventually graduate out, and then eventually they're in the regular classrooms with all the other students and performing well.
So you take a little pain there you and I, before we went on the air, you mentioned literacy and how important that is. That's the first step, isn't it? If you can't read and write, you can't go anywhere.
And that is correct.
Yeah.
And that is one of the challenges is to get students who come here speaking no English, to get them to proficiency levels is a challenge in the timeline that we have available. But there are students that perform well and do well and catch up pretty quickly. But then there are challenges of those that take a little bit longer to be able to acquire the necessary skills.
What is the ethnic mix in USD 259? You've got a really melting pot there.
We do.
Slice of America, really.
We really do. We have a saying in the Wichita Public Schools that the world walks in our hallways. And so we're very proud of that opportunity. That exposes our kids to a lot of things that others may not have the experience to experience other cultures and the diverse population.
Then you said, just my next question, how do you celebrate that diversity? Do you have special days? Do you have just an attitude, or how do you do it?
It's just a culture. We celebrate each other every day. So it's nothing really special that we do to emphasize per se, but it is a celebration to have that diverse population within our school district.
Talk a little bit about your graduation rates in the mm-hmm. school. I know that's been kind of a troubling statistic here for a while. Mm-hmm. How are we doing on that?
Well, right now, our graduation rate for 2016 was at 73.9%, and it has been steadily increasing. And as you know, one of the goals for our strategic plan is to increase our graduation rate. We have put many new things in place. We have put together a plan where we are opening up some of our alternative programming. We are back out at Town East, where we have programs there. We're increasing our virtual work. We've expanded program at Chester Lewis Academy, and we also have academies for that within our comprehensive high schools, so that we're looking at kids starting in the ninth grade, putting measures and interventions in place for them so that we don't get to the 12th grade and we're dropping out. We're intervening earlier on.
How much did that rate compare with other cities in Kansas, or is it fair to compare rates, because every school district is going to be a little different?
Every school district is going to be a little bit differently, but we don't really compare ourselves too much to others. But what we want is we want our kids to graduate, and we're not satisfied with what we have, so we're going to continue to do what we need to do to increase our graduation rates to the levels in which we always want to be at 100%, but we're going to increase them. No doubt about it. We will increase our graduation rates.
Dr. Thompson, when you talk about a graduation rate, are you talking about taking a student and tracking them from kindergarten through 12? How do dropouts impact? Is that a different deal, or how does it work?
Well, we are a school district and a system. Everyone contributes to the success of the kid when they're walking across that stage. So we say pre-K through 12 is our continuum of services for our kids. And so we're going to be strengthening all areas so that we can ensure that our kids successfully meet the goal, and that is to graduate and to be successful beyond.
Tell us about test scores.
Mm-hmm.
Are they good, bad? Where are you?
Well, our test scores, we really actually now have a different kind of measure that we use in the state of Kansas to determine what is a test score, so there's really no numbers. It talks about whether kids are on grade level or whether they're prepared to go to college or prepared to go to get a certification. So there really is no numbers at this point. So we actually have last year has some baseline data because assessments kind of changed over the last couple of years. So again, we're stabilizing what we do in the state of Kansas to then begin to have our baseline to move forward. So we don't really have sound numbers yet because we're still working with the state on, you know, the testing and which tests we'll use. So the data is a little different right now.
When I was a kid, I think we called them the Iowa test scores. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I took that.
A long time ago.
I'm telling my age, but yes, we took those tests. And it gave us a percentage in different areas, and we don't have that kind of a system anymore.
Okay. And when it comes to education, how much can a test score tell you about how well that kid's doing?
Well, what we do know is that our community tells us is that they're looking not only for a kid that can read, write, and spell and do arithmetic. What they're looking for is a well-rounded, the whole child. And so we're also spending time, and you'll begin to see information about the soft skills, which is, can you be on time? Can you work together as a group? Do you problem solve? Are you a good thinker? Those are the things also. So that's what the commissioner is looking for, is to be able to measure not just the text scores of the numbers of academic, but also what do they bring. So they want both packages together.
Now, let's talk a little bit about weather safety. It's quite a switch of switching gears here. But now, do all the school buildings have some kind of a weather safe room?
We have shelters.
Shelters.
Storm shelters, yes.
And some of those are multi-purpose rooms, aren't they? Like
some of them are multi-purpose rooms, gyms, classrooms. They've been hardened and used for storm shelters.
Yeah, there are improvements you make in the structure that make them safer.
Yes, that is correct.
Are any of them 100% safe?
According to the weather, gurus,
and I don't know what it would take to like a bomb dropping or something, but
according to FEMA, are definitely 100% safe.
Well, they ought to know, right? Okay,
yes, they ought to know.
Well, we've had and I'm just thinking about the past few years. There was a few years ago we had a tornado come and damage Jefferson School.
Jefferson, yes,
and which is right in the middle of town. I'm thinking that's kind of strange, but we're not immune from the weather any place in town, I guess. We've been real lucky. Let me knock on wood over here.
Yes.
Over the years, we've been very lucky with that, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Okay. On the topic, and I'm going to throw this one out. You may not know this. What is the annual insurance bill for USD 259?
Oh, my. Well, you got me on that one.
I probably should have had the accountant come in for that one.
You know what? And I can text that back to you.
But I can illustrate. To illustrate, though, it's high. It takes a lot of insurance for you to keep those doors open, doesn't it? It's one of those costs that people don't think about.
That is correct. We do have to have insurance on our buildings. We have insurance on our kids and our staff.
Right.
So we have a lot of insurance, different types of insurance that we have to have in order to continue to move, and it is expensive, as you know.
You're listening to Issues 2018 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Dr. Alicia Thompson, Superintendent of Wichita Public Schools. It does. It costs a lot of money to run a big school district. Are you getting the support you need from the Board of Education?
Our Board of Education members are fantastic, so we're definitely getting the support that we need from them, as well as I would say we're getting the support from our community as well.
Now, these people, talk a little bit about your school board.
Mm-hmm.
These people who some people say, well, they make so much money, they should be good at what they do. But they don't make money, do they?
No. The Board of Education members, that's a voluntary job. So all of the services and all the meetings and all of the school visits that they make is on their own time, and it's voluntary. And hence why we appreciate them so much for all of that they do.
Okay. How about the state of Kansas? You getting enough support from them? From us, I guess it's us, isn't it? State of Kansas.
Well, we actually have are you mentioning the State Board of Education? They are fantastic. They've been a great resource to the school district and support us very well. So we appreciate the commissioner and his team.
And it has the numbers, a little bit more money coming in over the last couple of years, right?
We have, and people always say, well, you're getting, more money, and again, I'm not going to not appreciate that for sure. But we have to remember, too, that we have cut for almost close to a decade, and that's over $100 million from our school district that have been cut. And we definitely have not gotten back to the levels in which we were. However, it's a blessing that we are not cutting. So we are grateful for what we are to receive. We have been receiving, but we definitely have a ways to go to be able to get back to the levels we were at about a decade ago.
And people say, well, you need to run government like a business. Well, in a business, costs keep going up.
Yes.
Yeah. And you keep cutting, but then you got to pay more for other stuff.
Yeah, and
right?
We still have to pay for our utilities and all of those. And as everyone knows in your own home, those rates have continued to go up and up and up and up. And we've not kept up with that either, with the funding.
I want to talk about safety for just a minute. We're talking about weather safety. You know, it's a different kind of safety. What was I seeing? Did you have a new kind of a locking system in the schools? Can you tell me about that, or do I need to call in Terry Moses, or can you tell me about that?
Oh, I think I could tell you about safety. Safety is one of the things that we pride ourselves on, is having safe schools. We actually have written a grant for funding with the State Department of Education. Mm-hmm. And so we received through that grant that we wrote $1 million to for enhancements inside of our classrooms, which is including classroom door locks that lock from the inside, which is what is the recommended way for our doors to be. We have defibrillators for our schools that do not have them. And we're upgrading our camera equipment and additional metal detectors for our schools. So the funds will be used in that manner, and we will, as a district, begin that work as soon as possible.
That seems kind of simple, but if in the event that somebody would come in and want to do something, if you had an alert type of a system for all classrooms, stand up and lock the door, that would seem step one, right?
That is correct.
All right. You think teachers should be allowed to bring guns into classrooms?
Well, I will tell you that teachers don't, most teachers do not want that responsibility. So I'm going to leave that into the hands of our people who make those decisions. But as a district, I can tell you that most of the teachers that I've visited with do not want that responsibility.
I understand there have been some changes in the meal menus.
Yummy, yummy.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Want more pizza?
No, just better pizza.
More mac and cheese?
Better mac and cheese.
Now, tell me about that. How do you mean better? What
well,
do you do? Well,
you know, we have certain rules and that we have to follow, and there's certain types of cheese and things that you have to use.
Right,
and so
right.
What we've been talking with kids and listening to their concerns, and they've been working out that we have a chef out there, and he's been creating new things that taste better for kids, and letting the kids have the opportunity to taste, to say thumbs up or thumbs down. And so I think the kids will be pretty pleased when they come back with some of the cool things. Now, they also ask for steaks, and they ask for shrimp and some of those things,
oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't think we're able to accommodate them with
you
that yet.
You can't do lobster?
Not yet. But we do provide, we are getting more tasty meals.
Okay, well, listen, when it comes to meals, I'm out of touch. Do they still have cafeterias where the food is prepared there, or is it all just one central location? How do you do that?
A combination of both.
Oh, okay.
So there are some things that are prepared at the central location at our school service center, and then there are some things that are actually prepared inside of the schools.
Talk about the importance now of extracurricular activities. I'm talking about music, sports clubs, things like that.
Yes. The extracurricular activities is an awesome piece for us to be able to connect kids to school. There are a lot of kids that, they'll tell you, if it wasn't for this club or if it wasn't for athletics, you know, maybe I would have dropped out, or I was not connected to the school. Those things help them to stay in school and be engaged. So we value the extracurricular activities in our school district.
And sometimes that's a little bit extra money when it goes to the school board. I know it's expensive to do sports teams, for instance.
Yes, it is. Everything that we do is an expense, but it is well worth the expense when we are engaging kids and helping them to feel connected and be able to graduate.
Are you getting enough teachers?
We're working on it.
Yeah, but that's not an answer.
We do not have all of the teachers that we need, as the state has a deficit in the teachers. So what we're just coming up with lots of different innovative, creative ways in which we are reaching out to people to get them interested into the teaching profession. In particular, we're looking for special ed, mathematics, language arts, and science teachers.
In that regard, are you competing with other school districts in Kansas?
I think we all are. I think we do compete with each other. But again, we have such a great school district, and we have such a great state, actually. And what we're all doing together is just coming up with creative ways to just encourage folks to go into the teaching profession, period. And then the competing will come later. But we just want people to know that it's a noble profession and that it is something people should consider.
Now, what would you say to a young person, or what do you say to a young person who might be considering a teaching career?
That it would be the best decision that you could ever make. You impact everything. Education is economic development. Education creates opportunities, and you are playing a huge role in building a great community.
I wasn't paying a lot of attention when the school year began, but I did see some video of certain schools where it was like you had. Can help me out on this, because it was like you had rolled out the red carpet for these kids as they were coming in. They were getting a lot of attention from different people. What was that all about?
Well, it was about welcoming back our kids and our families.
It's oh,
so,
yeah?
Yeah, it was so much fun.
You know how they welcomed me? Oh, you again.
Yeah, kids, they had all summer. They probably were napping and all that. We had to get them motivated and inspired.
So how many schools did you actually do that?
I actually, throughout that week, I probably were visited maybe about 15 schools that week.
Okay.
Yes. So, I start out early in the morning. I think I started out at Brooks Middle School, and I was there at about 6:15 a.m. And then I didn't shut it down till, late in the evening, and we continued that all week.
Okay. How does Wichita's business community support the schools?
They're fantastic. The community has really embraced the public school system, not only with finances, but with their time, with feedback. That has been the most important thing, is to just get feedback from the businesses of what it is that they're looking for in our students when they leave. And that has been so instrumental in helping us to build our strategic plan. So they were invaluable in the decision making for our strategic plan.
I think a lot of people look at education and say, well, the reason you're there is so you can learn how to get a job when you grow up. But that's not all of it.
No.
Tell us about that.
What we did hear from our community partners, which is our businesses as well, is, they really want kids to be able to know, how to get to school, work on time. If we can get our employees to just come to work on time, we can get somewhere. Being able to problem solve, being able to work together in groups, all of those things about how to be a good citizen, how to give back to the community and not always be the one receiving. All of those things are skill sets that we are deploying in our students alongside of academics.
Do you allow the kids to bring their cell phones into class and do video games and stuff like that?
Not video games, but we do allow them to bring them into class because, again, it could be a tool. Well, it's an emergency, but it could be a tool. The phones have Google on it. Kids can get on and they can look up things. They can research on their phones. Kids use those phones just like they use computers. Mm-hmm. So we do welcome them. But, again, we have, of course, rules and expectations of how they use them. But teachers use them as tools.
The school's all getting help from alumni. And we were talking before we went on the air about my high school. We have a class that's very involved. How about the others? Are all the schools have alumni associations or not?
Now, all schools have alumni associations. Of course, it's a variety of, the engagement and the involvement. But we do have support from our alumni. We have lots of ways that our alumni actually engage with us through volunteerism, mentorship, financial contributions, whatever it is that they like to participate in, and we welcome that. And we also are excited when they come back for their reunions to see all the cool things that they bring and donate to the school during that time as well.
Yeah, they come back, they can visit the school that it's not like when they were kids, because there's been a lot of improvement made.
That is
you
correct.
Inherited that, at least.
Yes, I did, and that was a blessing.
You got some great buildings.
A blessing.
What's the toughest part of your job, Dr. Thompson?
Well, you will laugh, but I will say weather calls. Whenever I have to call school off, whether or not to keep school open when it's bad weather. I thought that that was pretty easy, and I used to say, well, just close it or open it. But it's not that simple. You have to take families in your community into consideration. You have to work with the city to make sure that the roads are the way. I mean, it is so complex. That's more complex than most things is the weather calling. You wouldn't believe it.
Well, you could flip a coin, too.
That's all I needed to do, but it didn't work.
What do you like best about your job?
The people, the staff that I work with, the teachers are amazing, and our families. It's just the people that make us who we are, and we are blessed to have great people.
Well, I hope you have a good school year. I think it's all so far. It looks like it's doing pretty well, and we hope to talk to you again soon about what's going on with the Wichita Public Schools. Thank you for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you for the invitation.
Appreciate that. Our guest is Dr. Alicia Thompson, Superintendent, Wichita Public Schools. And again, we'll talk with her again maybe in a few months. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.